Shopify's already taken the cash register online, helping millions sell billions around the world. But did you know that Shopify can do the same thing at your retail store? Give your point of sale system a serious upgrade with Shopify. That's right, Shopify is the sound of selling everywhere. Online, in-store, on social media, and beyond. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into one source of truth. Track every sale across your business in one place and know exactly what's in stock. With Shopify POS, you can accept credit cards, mobile payments, and every other major payment method, all with low fees and transparent pricing, starting on day one. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Do retail right with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/MLB podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/MLB podcast to take your retail business to the next level today. Shopify.com/MLB podcast.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome to Inside the Monster with Steve Perrault and Joey Capone.
Welcome back to episode 37 of the official Red Sox podcast, Inside the Monster, presented by Odyssey, with myself, Steve Perrault, and Joey Capone. The Boston Red Sox got swept by the Toronto Blue Jays at Fenway Park.
Yeah, they did.
They have won one game in the last 2 weeks.
Hell yeah, they did.
And Joey, the only good news is that you and I were at the David Ortiz Hall of Fame induction ceremony. Every other Red Sox bit of news stinks.
The only good news is something else happened
that had nothing to do with the games that are going on. How you feeling, G? I'm sure you're feeling great.
Oh yeah, I was actually so grateful that you asked. Dude, how awesome that this is going on at the same time. Can you imagine if we were just sitting at home watching this
and this wasn't going on?
I feel so bad for the Sox fans that are just sitting at home watching this just on the couch alone in the dark.
Yeah.
Just watching 28-5 ball games.
You know who I feel bad for? We did the series preview on Thursday, and I kind of alluded to the fact that if you're a Sox fan and you like going to the old ball yard, maybe just sit that series out, because it's like 95 degrees. There's a chance it goes poorly. You're facing some studs that have your number, and they did in this series. And that's exactly what happens. It's like, okay, it goes poorly. Joey, I hate saying gun to your head. Gun to your head. That's such an overused
water
phrase.
What's the one we did before? Water balloon,
yeah,
over
water
your
balloon,
head. Squirt gun at your head.
Squirt gun at your head. Water balloon potentially ready to be dropped on your dome.
Yep.
If someone had asked us, what do you think is going to happen in this upcoming series? Because we didn't do like game predictions. I was like, please win the series, but I really didn't think that was going to happen. I think we would have pretty convincingly said, yeah, they're going to lose the series. I wouldn't have said they're going to get swept.
I had some faith. I did. I had hope.
You had faith in the sweep for the Blue Jays?
No, well, we didn't know Rafi was going to go on the IL. We didn't know JD wasn't going to play.
Yeah, like, that's
we,
a huge part
we
of this.
We figured
that's
Story was probably good to come back. So, like, you didn't know what the lineup was going to look like there. You also didn't know Bayo was getting the start in Game 3. So, I felt confident before I saw the lineups. But, just from lineups alone, I think you could look at all three games and guess what happened.
Yeah. No, I think the...
Maybe not guess that, like, the run differential over the series was, like, 88 or whatever it was.
It was 1,000-1, I think, was the official run differential. But, yeah, I mean, we'll break it down. We'll start with Friday. I know The title of the show is about Poppy. I know Joey and I, it was the last leg of the ITM road trip in Cooperstown. Right now, we're at a road stop.
We're in Cooperstown.
Right? Yeah, right.
What do you think of this view of Cooperstown we're looking at right now?
I think this view of Cooperstown is incredible.
Look at that.
We definitely didn't get pushed back because of a huge rainstorm. But yeah, it was a really fun weekend, but we got to talk about what's going on with the Red Sox. It's the official show. It is absolute chaos right now. I think the best way to describe it is you and I coming back from this road trip. Yeah. I mentioned this before. It's the Childish Gambino, that dude. Donald Glover. It's a Donald Glover gif where he's walking back in. Yeah, community. He's walking back in with pizzas and the place is on fire. Like that's what I feel like coming back to Boston from Cooperstown is going to be like, considering
coming
they just
back
got
with all your souvenirs and guys. Look, I got a new glove and I got a ball.
Joey, I'm just going to say this. I'm going to say this, and this is a big compliment I'm about to give out to you.
Oh, damn!
That all right. We just did a lot of travel. Yeah. We went to New York. We went to Los Angeles, across the country. We were moving all around LA for all those events. Came back home. Had a not even really a chill day because we did the series preview and then I went
working the next day.
Exactly. Yeah. Went to the concert. Like the weekend concert was a nice little gap of like, this is so much fun. But then right back to Cooperstown, a lot of, you know, getting a lot of content in Cooperstown for the David Ortiz weekend. And I just think overall, I think we did, I'm just going to pat ourselves in the back. I think we did a great job. I'm very proud of what we got out there, what we accomplished. And now I'm scared of what we're walking back into.
Yeah.
It was a way to like kind of turn a blind eye to it, to the games.
Yes, but that's what makes it hard for me to kind of pat ourselves on the back, because it's like I don't know how much like I care about that at this moment. I had a great time doing
it. I care about it because we're not back in Boston yet.
Yeah, I loved that everybody seemed to like the stuff. That's awesome. I would do it a million times over. I love traveling. I loved New York. I loved L.A. Cooperstown was incredible. All that is to say that it served as just a distraction, like you said. Like, because I mean, dude, we talked at length last episode about how important the next three series were. To come out of the first one 0-3 is, I mean, literally the worst case scenario. We can't name this episode worst case scenario because that was the name of our last episode.
No,
it seems like there's just a new floor. It sucks. It's really bad right now. Things are very, very bad right now.
Like I mentioned before we came on this program here, and probably already mentioned already, thank God for David Ortiz. Like, thank God we were in Cooperstown during this, because this was an absolute nightmare. Friday night, Joey and I get in to Cooperstown. Shout out to Joey for driving. And it's like, all right, let's get settled. And we got there right around first pitch. Like, we basically got to that Cooley's Bar, which is a good setup, bar and restaurant there. Mm-hmm. Would definitely recommend it if you're ever in Cooperstown. And we get set up kind of in the back there. There's a nice table and a lot of TVs. All got the Red Sox game on, which is great. And, you know, sure enough, it just becomes absolute chaos, absolute madness right out of the gate. Give up a run in the first inning. It's like, all right, Red Sox are down 1-0. Give up two runs in the second inning. It's like, all right, they're down 3-0. Nivaldi doesn't look great. Not spotting his stuff. Gave up that bomb to Chapman that was just right down the middle. It's like, oh, okay, all right.
Yeah, that's what he does.
Yeah, it's like, whatever. He hits home runs even though he's not been that great this year.
Not him. I mean, Nivaldi giving up home runs.
Chapman's capable, and Nivaldi loves giving him up. But then the third inning
meeting
happens.
Of the minds.
Exactly. It was a meeting of the home run minds. One good, one bad. But we obviously, not going to break down the whole game. I mean, they lost.
There's some moments you really got to mention.
28-5. But, Joe, yeah, you're acting like I'm just going to skip over everything.
Well, No.
The Duran moment, I think you and I are very passionate about this moment. So you see the ball in the air there. It was whoever the hell it hit it. A guy that I don't really like, actually.
It Yandy?
It was what's-his-face. What's-his-face hit it.
Oh.
And no, who? It's Tapia.
Tapia,
who I think plays at like 50% at all times. Or at least he comes across that way. He hits the ball in the air. By the way, he got more of that ball than I thought. Off the bat, like, it genuinely looked like it was just a pop-up to Duran. And as a fan,
it still went like 370.
It landed on the warning track, which was like, what the hell happened there? But as a fan, off the bat, what you have to go by before it goes to the center field cam, the left field cam, whatever, the outfield cam, is the reaction of the hitter. And I'm like, oh, okay, all right, oof, all right, got out of this. is what it is. Mm. Sox are down 6-0. Yeesh.
Because he like slams the bat.
I know. He immediately is just like, oh, this is nothing.
Oh, and what an easy fly ball to catch. An easy fly ball.
You
thinking.
Look at Duran, and it's like, oh, God, not again. Not again. It's happening again. Happened to Arroyo. It happened to Bobby. It's happening to Duran. And he loses the ball. We all know what happens. It goes over his head. And, Joey, you were on this immediately. I'll give you credit for it, that he didn't run after it. And so I'm thinking, there's got to be a it was probably a deceptive view where it's like, oh, no, he was actually way far away from the ball, and Verdugo was about to get there. They nope. showed the bullpen cam, like, which is right parallel to those guys, and I'm like, oh, Jaron, you gotta at least do, like, the half-assed, like, oh, I'm trying, even though I know Doogie's going to beat me there. So it was a rough look. I mean, it was awful, a rough look for Jaron. It really can't happen, and it sucks because, you know, he came out really hot, and then, you know, you had the vaccine stuff come up, and that wasn't great. Then he said he'll be ready for the next Toronto series, and I'm probably closest with Jaron of anyone on the team, so it's like, I obviously want to see things go well. It'd be good to have him on this show to break down his couple years here with Boston, but that moment just can't happen. You can't just like stop and just look at the ball. I'm stunned it happened.
His PR stuff is his optics go up and down. It's up and down because like he'll hit 400 for a week, and then like the vaccine stuff, like you said, and then this one. I mean, this is a bad one. This is a really bad one because I mean, Jerry Remy alluded to something last year to a player. You guys can go back and listen to every broadcast of every game
if you want to.
I'm not going to say what player, but he referred to a player on the Boston Red Sox and basically just called them lazy and said, like, that's a great way to make fans in Boston not like you, is to come off lazy. That's like the number one thing. That was such bad looks. Cora, though, I think Cora had like the moment of all moments after in his presser when he was asked about it. He was asked, like, just, did you talk to Duran about it? Did you sit him down and tell him, hey, you have to go after that ball? Which, like, I think he kind of knows. I think he knew in the moment. I think the second he saw Doogie get it, he probably thought, I probably should have been there.
Yeah.
But Cora's answer was, like, I didn't talk to him, but I know that those guys did. I know that Verdugo did. I know that Jackie did.
Yeah.
And I think that carries way more weight than anything I could have said to him. And I mean, I agree with that 100%.
Yeah.
I mean, like, what could Cora have said? Hey, you got to hustle out
there. You got to hustle there. It's like, all right, Skip.
Yeah,
like,
you know, like, your teammates are like, hey, man, I needed you there. And, like,
I think in certain scenarios that carries more weight. If Doogie's like, you kind of made me look like an idiot. I had to sprint over there like my life depended on it and slide after the ball. That's not my ball. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it sucks. At its core, and we were joking about this, like, the Red Sox should just start, like, faking injuries around Twilight so that Twilight can just not, it can be over, it can be dark, and then you're not losing the ball anymore.
What, can I ask you a question, please? The confidence here, okay? This is...
I know what you're going to ask, I think. What's
Twilight?
It's that in-between of day and night.
Sunset? We can't use the word sunset?
No, well, the sun's not really involved because it's, like, very low and it's below the stands.
It's setting?
But it's like below the stand. When you say sunset, it's implied you lose it in the sun maybe a little bit. But like, no, twilight is like it's really about to be
when
dark.
It's like purpley pinky.
Yes, it's like about
Why
to be
would
dark.
It be hard to lose the ball when
not,
it's purpley
I'm not saying
pinky.
It's purpley pinky. It's like, you don't know what twilight is? I'm
no.
surprised. Like,
I've seen the movie.
It's very similar to the movie. So essentially it's the same thing. No, it's basically where it's like, it's, if it's bright,
evening.
if it's sunny, I think it's easier to see the ball because you're ready. You're in that mode. You have your sunglasses and all that.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's right before it's dark out, a lot of times that is the similar color to the baseball, and players lose the ball in that. That's the best I can give you because that's what it is.
All right,
so,
fair enough.
Yeah.
I guess.
But
whatever.
Basically, I mean, the fact that it's,
was it even twilight when that happened?
Yeah, it was. It was like the third or fourth inning. So it was still a little bit of light. So anyway, it's, and Jaron, I think, we'll get better at this. You know, I think in the post game he was saying, like, you guys try catching a ball in twilight, and I might have ran into Verdugo. It's like, Doogie would have been right in front of you. Like, I think...
That's another Boston thing, too. That's like, the fans want the same thing all the time. They want the accountability. They want.
No, I know.
It's the old school fans, but it's...
It's still fair to be like, hey, you know, it's totally fine to in the post game be like, I should have gone after that. Like, it's... In hindsight, it's a bad look. And... So, is, you know, whatever. Is what it is. Gives up an inside the park grand slam, which, by the way,
it's what it is. Just an inside
It just made it 10-0, and the game was over. But in that scenario, Joey, and I think you had mentioned this to me at the old Airbnb, but it was you can call an error on a ball that lands, right? You confirm that?
Yeah. So if I was looking at the right set of rules there, dude, that whole idea that a fielder has to touch the ball for them to be charged with an error is incorrect.
Yeah.
So like Buckner being a famous example, like that, like going through a fielder's legs, whether or not they touch it, is an error. And it's like the score judge can the official scorer can rule a ball routinely catchable, I think is the phrase they use.
Okay. So. You guys, anyone listening understands where I stand on this. If it's human error, that should count as an error. Like, if human error was factored in, if you lost the ball, couldn't see it, like for the Arroyo one, for that one, Tapia getting a grand slam for that is an absolute joke, but and I got no time for it.
I didn't care at all I care that it's 10 to nothing. I care that it's 10 to nothing and that nobody really looks all that beaten up about it. And I hate that the relay home shows seven fielders in it. Like, nobody... I said to you after this game, that might have been the most embarrassing loss I've ever seen. And you
said... It's got to be in the running.
And your answer was, I think you can drop the word might.
Well, I couldn't think of anything else. Yeah. Nothing else comes to mind.
It was terrible. I mean, that's awful.
We're not going to run through a bunch of stats here, but one did jump out to me during the game where that was the first time in Red Sox history that they came to bat in the fourth inning trailing by 12 runs. That was fun when they were only down 12 runs.
That was sick.
It got so ugly, and to the point where it's like you got to start doing the football tweets. Like, you got to start, a couple touchdowns, two-point conversions. You got to just start having fun with it because you just got to hide the pain. It's that embarrassing. But if I'm doing the math right here, you got 24.
Did it vanish for you?
27-3 in the sixth inning. I mean, 27-3 in the sixth inning? What? Honestly, if you're a Sox fan, they only gave up one run the last three innings, Joey. Like, that's they bared down.
And you know who was on the mound.
Yeah, of course I know who was on the mound.
Yolmer Sanchez.
It was my guy, Yolmer. Honestly.
Which, by the way, may I just say, I love position players pitching.
Yeah, yeah.
That's got to be the most underwhelming person to have on the mound.
I know.
It's like, you want Doogie, you want JBJ, whoever. It's like,
get
Yolmer's
Verdugo
on the mound. Like, what are we doing?
Verdugo's got to get a chance, yeah, right?
Like, finally get a position player on the mound, and it's Yolmer.
Yeah.
God bless him.
Two things I want to mention, and this is just going to be Homer Steve, but I don't care.
All right.
The two things that are the most lowest hanging fruit ever, but the simpletons on Twitter will like it because they're simpletons and losers and have no sense of creativity.
Okay.
And understanding of, like, how this stuff goes. The people, and I've said it before, but oh my god, if they play Sweet Caroline, I'm gonna lose my mind. Breaking news, they're gonna play Sweet Caroline. They do it every game. It's a friggin' song. Who cares? I lose my mind, Joey, over the if they do it. If they play Sweet Caroline when they're down 24, I'm going to... What are you going to do? What are you going to do?
They're going to play 80 games this year?
I'm going to leave this 27-3 game. Like, good for you. Those people suck. Shut up. I am so sick of the...
I bet I can guess what the other one is.
Can you believe they played... Yes, I can. It's every game. I don't like Sweet Caroline. I'm sick of it as well. But they play it, and there's people that go there once a year, and they want to hear it and go, ba, ba, ba. Whatever! Shut up! Anyway, second one. Every game, Joey.
Proposal.
There's a proposal. So I saw John Boy Media, our new best friends at John Boy.
Yeah, yeah.
That were like, OMG, like, this can't be serious. Guy proposed when they were down 24. It can be serious, because he paid bank for that, I would assume.
And he scheduled it a year in advance.
Yeah, so you think he knew the Jays were going to come to town and win 28-5? Like,
he didn't just say, oh my God, we're on the big screen, I have the ring in my pocket.
Yeah.
This would be a great moment.
Actually, he's looking at the camera guy, no, we're getting crushed, like, I'm not going to propose. So, had a couple of my Yankee fan friends texting me, like, is this real? Is this Photoshop? It's every game. So shut up with that. One thing, though, it's the curse of Sidney Sweeney. The Red Sox, I want to find out the exact total that they've gotten outscored since Sidney Sweeney threw out the first pitch.
I disagree. There was a Barstool tweeted something that was like, since Sweeney came on the mound, they haven't looked the same. Do you want to look at before Sidney Sweeney came on the mound?
I wasn't saying that was funny. It was funny when they initially tweeted, and who knows if this was like...
I don't think it was Coley. I don't know who would have tweeted it, but it probably was an intern. But like, Sox may never lose again. Sydney Sweeney threw the first pitch. I'm like, that's all they're going to do is lose again. Like, they've only lost since
it was
the first 12-0, pitch. I
want to
see. So it was what? It's 32-6 after Saturday. And then what do we got here? Got to get updated on this. 40-10. They got outscored 40-10 in this series, the Red Sox. So. Yikes.
Yeah.
Yikes.
Yeah. That's
I think Sydney had tweeted out, like, you know, you could have thrown me in there, which is a classic. It's probably her PR team. That's a classic. Like, let's get some likes out of this. But, dude, that game Friday was nuts. At least we were at the Cooperstown Distillery. And it was, they had the good poppy drinks there, and like the vibes were nice and whatever.
I think that helped us along, but I think everybody, just judging off Twitter, like, stopped caring. I think everybody was like, look, this game is a wash. I want to see history. I want to see position players pitching. I want to see numbers on a scoreboard that I've never seen before. I want this game to end 60-2.
Yeah.
I want something crazy. I want Alex Cora to sign a one-day contract and get into the game.
Yeah. That would be hilarious if after a certain score, the manager can just start tossing balls.
I feel like there might be a rule for something like that. You run out of
players.
I mean,
Kevin Cash throws batting practice, so that's the same thing.
That's the exact same thing.
So I
feel like everybody was rooting for that up until the end when, like, okay, the Sox might hold them off from 30. I wanted to hold them off from 30.
Yeah.
But that, I mean, a lot can be said about Cora's decision to keep major league pitchers on the mound throughout the entirety of a 24-run ball game.
I genuinely think he didn't want to give up the record. I really think that.
I know that that's probably what it is, and I so don't agree with it. Because there's two more games against the Blue Jays that come in the two following days. You lost the game, dude. You're down 20-plus runs. Verdugo on the mound. Like, call it.
No, Joey, I got you. There are things we can disagree with but still understand. Like disagree with the decision and still... I still get where the headspace is at. Like, I don't know if Cora during the game... I mean, he knows the game very well. He probably knows the record is 30. I think it was the Rangers against the Orioles or something, like whatever, 12 years ago. But there is a certain point where I think it's like, let's not make the worst history ever and give up the most runs. I mean, that's the thing. There's a lot of stats that we talk about that are so stupid and that are like, well, the Red Sox in home games under this, like, ownership, when the wind's blowing from the west, it's like, just,
but most
if
runs
you just give up the most runs in a game ever, that is like, first off, the easiest stat to say, just most runs ever given up in a MLB game. That is there's no, like, you know, qualifiers or any of that garbage. I genuinely think it was let's avoid this. I don't know if he'd ever say that or if that was definitely the reason, but it kind of felt like it when you only had one inning of a position player pitching when you're down by 22-plus runs for, like, four or five innings. I can't believe they lost 28-5.
I mean, I get it. I understand it. I understand it. Don't agree with it.
Yeah, that's fair. But that's fine. I just can't, like, that was so embarrassing. But again, Joey, we're going to keep saying this show, that it lightens the pain a little bit when you're in beautiful Cooperstown on Main Street.
People listening to this are probably not in Cooperstown this weekend.
No, I know, but I'm saying that matters is us. So, like, we were in Cooperstown, and
it sucks for you guys.
Yeah, it sucks for you guys, but it was like it was way easier for us. No, I mean, it sucks. Everything with the series sucks. Game two, I gotta say, and this is something that I'm excited for this week to have the most accurate and real and live reactions to these games as possible. Because when you're doing these, like, oh, boo-hoo us, we're on this road trip. But, like, when you're doing these remote, you know, events that happen when the games happen, we're doing our best to follow along, but the connection in Cooperstown kind of sucks. Trying to watch on the phone. Some of the bars have the game. Some of them don't. Most of them don't, which is a little nuts. But the Saturday game was hard. It was really hard to keep track of. And not a lot happened, but one thing we wanted to talk about was that Manoah-Dahlbeck exchange. Breaking that down like the Zapruder film. Saw the tweet where it was finally, or the video where it was like, oh, okay, so Manoah was a little hyped up after the strikeout because he struck out Bob after he gave up a homer. Bob said some words to Manoah. Manoah then said some words back. At the end of the day, it was kind of much ado about nothing. Initially, it looked like Manoah was just really flipping out and yelling at Bob, which is like, whoa, calm down, dude. But it seemed like Bob had said some choice words to Manoah. Manoah returns the favor as he's going to the dugout, and then whatever. That was that. But either way, it's... we got a train coming through.
Oh, my God.
In Cooperstown. We got a train coming in.
Wow, the downtown Cooperstown train.
Wow. I never thought I'd see the downtown Cooperstown train. That was nuts.
Oh, there grows all the Hall of Famers on it.
Wow.
Is that Boggs?
Was that Pedro?
Wow.
Yikes.
Moose.
Look at this.
That was awesome.
That's crazy. Yeah, that's Cal. Cal Ripken. Okay, wow. Oh, that was crazy.
Oh, dude.
It's like the Polar Express. It just drops you off at your town. What's up?
You know what I did want to talk about? Not the Red Sox.
Real quick, though,
about game two
with the Bob Manoah thing.
I didn't see the Toronto broadcast that you told me about, where you can see that Bob actually like says something
said
before
stuff
Manoah
and then Alex
just
says
freaks
stuff.
Out.
Yeah,
because Nesson did make it look like Manoah struck him out and then was like, "Yeah, sit down." And it's like, "Whoa, whoa, whoa, whoa!"
Like,
what
easy.
Are you talking about? It's Bobby Dalbec, dude.
At like, the end of the day, though, it's like Manoah still, you know, and Bob should be saying something. Manoah, it's like You're striking out Bobby Dalbec, who strikes out just to stay in shape. Like, let's not, like, get all jazzed up. Bobby's going to run into some solo shots. Like, I thought that was all Much Ado About Nothing, and both guys should have just relaxed. Like, it's not that serious.
I think that was, like, really the biggest takeaway from game two.
Yeah.
It was
nothing really happened. It kind of just another sucky game. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, recovering from the day before. I mean, the lineups in this whole series were ugly. It was ugly.
It doesn't look great.
It's not the Boston Red Sox that are out there.
It wasn't great.
So, one thing, I mean, you said it on the drive over here. Well, I mean, the walk over here across Cooperstown.
Yeah, we're in Cooperstown Plaza.
New York. Yeah. The people complaining about the lineups and, like, putting that, like, on Heim.
Oh, my God.
And trying to put Heim on the hot seat and saying, like, oh, like, hey, nice lineup, Heim.
It's I'm just going to call him or her out. I think it's him. Boston Sports Info, the Twitter account.
Yeah, goes, I mean, there's other people, too.
But this is the one I saw. Heim, look at the lineup we're left to put out there again today. What in the world are we doing? And, like, screenshots the lineup. It's like, what are you talking about?
Let's go through some names here.
Yeah.
JD Martinez, Rafael Devers, Kike Hernandez, Trevor Story, Chris Sale, James Paxton,
Christian Arroyo. If we're just talking lineup, though. If we're talking hitters. If you're talking hitters... You're missing Story, you're missing JD, you're missing Devers. Arroyo, when he gets going, can really help you. You're missing guy. I mean, Franchi, obviously, is just falling off the face of the earth. But you're missing core lineup guys. You're like, Heim, what the hell? When these guys go to the IL, how are you not bringing in all-stars to replace them for the 2 weeks that they're out? Like, it's a moronic tweet, and I hate...
And that's not
if you're going to get upset at Heim, it's like, pick the bullpen, pick the closer, pick rotation depth. To pick out the lineup, they've had like the best offense for the majority of the season. Just shut up with that. It's misled anger, and it's misdirected frustration that the people that are the naysayers, just it's easy for them just to do, I'm this, I'm that. Pick things that actually have consistently been issues, and I don't have a problem with it. But if you're going to call out the lineup when you got some of your biggest boppers and Rafael Devers, who's an MVP candidate out, you're a dope.
One of the hottest offenses in baseball when they're going. So absolutely no sense to be like,
fix the lineup, dude.
It's terrible when they're hurt.
This lineup sucks.
Because you're playing the Woo Sox, brother. Yeah. The Woo Sox are up.
God.
So, the series sucked, man. I think I'm kind of done talking about it. I don't really want to talk about it. I mean, game three was awful, too.
It was.
Game three wasn't we were at the Poppy thing and somebody came over to us. The induction is called.
Shout out to everybody that came up and was just kind of shooting the breeze. That was great. Talked to a lot of folks that listened to the podcast, said nice words. Shout out to you guys. That was really cool. Shout out to Tim, by the way. Hung out with Tim at Cooley's. He was super nice. And Kevin. A lot of folks were just like great, and it was
a lot of folks.
Emily, by the way. I remember we paired her up with her boyfriend on Section 10. That was great. So yeah, that part of the weekend was great. But
this guy, I know, we're in line to get a water to go sit down, get our spot, watch the game.
Watch the game
before the induction starts.
Okay. What?
Watch the game on our phones before the induction starts.
Yeah.
And I remembered the word induction. It's on my T-shirt. It's on my shot glass. It's on my hat.
Yeah.
Dude comes up and he's like, "Hey, I don't want to ruin your guys' day, but it's 5-0 in the first." And I was like, "Oh my god, that's so funny that you didn't want to ruin my day because you actually just did."
That definitely did.
So that's gonna be awesome. I'm gonna be thinking about that the whole time. The Pedro's up there, like, "Oh, me and Poppy, I love you, Tech. Yeah. All these memories."
Pedro's up there,
and looking at Pedro Martinez.
Yeah,
and I'm
doing
just
his induction speech.
They're about to get swept. They're gonna be 0-11-1 at the trade deadline against AL East opponents, and they're gonna get swept coming out of the gate into the second half. Awesome. I want to just talk about Poppy. Do you have anything else on this series?
Yeah, last thing.
Yeah, last thing.
And we're not, you know, this is it for stats. I know you could do a million after that series. But this was eye-opening, Joey. So, five-game losing streak for the Red Sox. A combined score of 67-13 in these series against the Yankees and the Blue Jays. Well, in this, I suppose in that stretch, that's what that means, in the last five games, because the Sox did somehow win that first game against the Yankees in New York. That is a minus 54 run differential, the worst in any five-game span for any MLB team in the last 121 years. Since 1901, in the history of the Red Sox, no MLB team has been beaten up this bad in a five-game span. There's been so many bad teams. Yeah. Over that stretch,
yeah,
like endlessly bad.
No Orioles team, no Nationals team.
The Royals had some terrible ones. The Pirates had some terrible. The Tigers didn't do that. You're killing me. The Tigers didn't do that. Oh, the Tigers. But I just, dude, this is so. It's so bad.
Thank you for including that stat, because that made me feel a lot better.
No, it's
that
just, you need to be negative when it's historically bad. And
that it is.
That it is. So that's where we're at with that series against the Jays. It was absolutely terrible. But Joey and I are ready to talk about the David Ortiz induction ceremony, Hall of Fame weekend, and that is coming up right after this.
Have you ever covered a carpet stain with a rug? Ignored a leaky faucet? Pretended your half-painted living room is supposed to look that way? Well, you're not alone. We've all got unfinished home projects. Whether it's a door that sticks, or a disorganized closet, or an AC unit that only works half the time. It all matters. You just haven't taken care of it yet. But there's an easier way. Just download the Thumbtack app. You can search for what you need done and find tons of highly rated pros right in your neighborhood. Check prices, reviews, and book a pro right on the spot. Plus, you'll know what to tackle next, because Thumbtack is the app that shows you what to do, who to hire, and when. Pull out your phone, and in just a few taps, say goodbye to all those unfinished home projects, and say hello to caring for your home the easier way. Download Thumbtack and start a project today.
Allstate wants to remind fans that mayhem is everywhere. Like when your fantasy league meets up at your house. Everything's great until the hot plate gets too hot for the tablecloth. Now your kitchen's up in smoke. And if you don't have the right home insurance coverage, the cost to fix this is anything but a fantasy. So switch to Allstate, save money, and get protected from mayhem like this. Not available in every state. Based on coverage selected, subject to terms, conditions, and availability. Savings vary.
Alrighty, we are back on episode 37 of Inside the Monster. Our mics probably sound a little bit different. We're using backup mics now because the other ones actually got stolen. Cal Ripken Jr. came up out of nowhere and was like, give me those. And he just ripped them out of our hands and then ran away. That was weird.
Well, lucky for you, you got Cal. Kelly took mine, dude.
Yeah.
And she made off like a bandit out of here. But luckily, dude, luckily, bro, our production crew had backup mics.
Yeah, there we go.
I mean, beautiful studio they got set up for us here on sunny Main Street in Cooperstown, New York.
Oh, we got to get out. Oh, gosh, I'm shutting that character down immediately. So, Joey, it's your first time to Cooperstown.
Yeah.
And I am very curious of just your overall reactions to being in what I would consider my favorite place on the planet.
I kind of think it sucked. No.
Right, that'll do it.
No, dude. It's crazy that it's not in a theme park. That place feels like a designated land of, like, Disney World. Like, there's, like, Fantasyland, there's Adventureland, there's Baseballland, and it's Main Street of Cooperstown. It doesn't feel like a place that you can just drive into and pay for a spot at a parking meter, dude. Very strange that it exists, and very strange that it's an island in the middle of nothing.
Mm.
Winding back roads to get there, and then just this, like, oasis in the middle of a forest desert that is this, like, lake town with only baseball stores and, like, legends, the best the game has ever seen, that come there every year. It's pretty crazy. It's weird.
Honestly, the majority of the time I'm in Cooperstown, you kind of feel like you're dreaming a little bit. Like, it feels like it's not real. Like, the sun's always hitting you.
pretty good. Main Street is just like dreamy. It's as a baseball fan, the nostalgia. See, I love nostalgia. I love like the throwback stuff. You travel into a different time when you're at Cooperstown. I don't know if it feels like the 60s or around that, but it's just like old-timey baseball, vintagey, mixed with, oh, if you're lucky enough, like we were, to have one of your favorite players of all time getting the best, highest honor they can get. That's the base of the weekend. And on top of that, you have the actual Hall of Fame going through, seeing all the cool items and all the, you know, artifacts they have in there from some of the greatest players in the history of the greatest game of baseball. So I love everything about it. I love being down there on the lake at that restaurant there. I'm glad we got to do that today. And you just really can't be beat. Like, the vibes are so great. People are in great moods. You have a lot of Red Sox fans that are there for the Pedro 115 and now Poppy in 22.
That's the thing about a solo induction, too.
I know.
It's only Sox fans.
We got to talk about this.
Because that's what it was.
We got to talk about this.
It was a solo induction.
So there were like six other people that got inducted to the Hall of Fame.
People that are deserving. Fowler, Gil Hodges.
Deserving.
Manny Messina.
Mini Musacco got in. All right, let me just get this gripe out of the way. Like, yes, deserving. Yes, 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 yes. You can have the Veterans Committee. You can have the Old Timers Committee. You can have the Beep Boop Bop Committee. You can have all the committees you want. That's how R2-D2 got in.
I was going to say... Beep Boop Bop Committee has been very quiet.
The Beep Boop Bop Committee got C-3PO and R2-D2 in the same year, which was very controversial. They thought they should spread them out. But so I honestly, it just drove me a little nuts that David Ortiz is on the program at the same size as these other people that like have taken like 30, 40, 50 years to get in. And it just doesn't feel right. It doesn't. I'm just kidding.
I know, we're honest
on this show. It doesn't feel right that this was supposed to be really only Poppy's weekend.
I know.
And it had to, you know, we were sitting out there baking in the sun as we have, like, nieces and nephews and cousins of these people that we have and haven't really heard of and, you know, talking for 40 minutes. And it's like, it just didn't, as a baseball fan, as someone that understands, you know, how this all works and trying to read the room, you got 34s all over the place.
Yep.
You got Dominican flags all over the place. You got just Poppy diehards all over the damn place.
Mm-hmm.
And it took like 2.5 hours to get to the Ortiz speech. And it just felt like it should have been more of a Poppy-centric weekend is my gripe of the week.
I understand. I mean, I'm totally with you. Dude, exactly zero people were there for anyone other than David Ortiz.
I didn't see a single jersey, shirt of anyone else.
No one.
But David Ortiz.
And you're totally right about the, like, it was supposed to be his. Because, like, when, you know, the initial voting ends, it's like, wow, Poppy's the only one inducted this year.
Yeah.
Well, and these other guys. And he's also going to be just, like, billed alongside them. It's like, dude, I looked all over for just a t-shirt that had just, like, Poppy Hall of Fame. And it was like, you could buy a David Ortiz t-shirt, or you can buy an induction t-shirt that
with
has the whole
everyone
class
equally
on, it.
On there.
And it's like, that's not what this is. And I know that this is probably coming across a little biased and whatever, but I'm going to stand
care.
True
I don't
and
care.
Say, I'm going to say, I don't think it is. Because I think if Derek Jeter was inducted alone, and then seven other old timers were put alongside there with him, I would say, no, like, this is, it's supposed to be just him.
You
have a separate, ceremony later in the day or the next day.
Or just
day,
have a different ceremony. Like, there's Hall of Fame in Cooperstown has this weekend, and then the other ones are pretty spread out in terms of, like, who's there. Like, this is obviously the big weekend. And if you had another weekend for people that make it in on the Veterans Committee and, you know, invite all their close and maybe distant friends and make that a thing, no one's going to be upset about that. Like, I genuinely think people would understand that if it's been, like, 30 years... and you're then getting into the hall, like, that's probably going to be treated a little differently than first ballot Hall of Famer, legend from the Dominican Republic, David Ortiz, the three-time World Series. Like, please. These are not equal things.
No.
So I don't think it should be treated equally on Hall of Fame weekend. And it's, I don't want to sound too salty. It's just that, like, to your point with Jeter, you had Jeter weekend. You had Mariano weekend. You're telling me Yankee fans aren't going to be a little salty or, like, feel a certain type of way that they're baking in the sun for 3 hours?
listening to speeches that are from people that they don't even know of relatives. Anyway, whatever.
I'm gonna play devil's advocate to my own point that I made to you earlier.
Yeah.
I said to you earlier, like, well, you couldn't really do that because then think of how short this would be. Like, you're setting up all these tents and, like, you know, these
wouldn't
chairs
be that
and,
short.
And whatever. Like, oh, it would be, you'd be out here for an hour. But tell me you couldn't make a 3-hour presentation out
this
of
this isn't about
Bing Poppy.
But this isn't about 3 hours.
I think that's exactly their rationale, though, is what I'm saying. That's exactly why it's
I think
not.
The rationale is they want to make it, if you make the Hall, you get treated like every other Hall of Fame member. I think they don't want to do, like, the, oh, priority in the Hall. It's like, once you make it through these gates, you know, you're part of, they even said this, you're part of the most important team of your life, and that's the Hall of Fame team, which is corny as hell. But, like, and trust me, I love the Hall of Fame. This is not me, like, hating on the Hall of Fame. I hate the constant steroid discussion and all this stuff. I love the Hall of Fame. I love Cooperstown. It's my favorite place. But the normal way to get inducted and the Veterans Committee and all that are not similar things. They are not equal. So,
but
anyway.
Once Poppy finally did give a speech, though,
it was incredible.
It was incredible.
It was a great speech. I think he touched up on everything. I know you pointed out he did not mention Bobby Valentine. I did not think.
It was so funny.
I didn't think he would. He was like my only two managers after.
That's what it was.
After Grady Little was Tito and John Farrell. I'm like, I don't know about that. But no, I mean, it's everybody felt a certain way about Bobby Valentine, and it's pretty public knowledge. But yeah, I thought the speech was great. I thought he could have talked about Pedro more. It's only a minute on Pedro.
I think he could have talked about the Twins a little less.
A little less, a little more Pedro. I understand, you know, that was where he got his start. I mean, he was in Seattle, and then Minnesota, and then Boston. But it's just, Poppy is so larger than life, and he's this, like, almost like mythical creature that when you see him, and, like, when you, like, dap him up and stuff, and when you're really tight with him.
Yeah, when that, yeah.
It just kind of, you just get kind of stunned. You get kind of dazed of, like, how different he is from us. Like, this guy is at a almost unreachable level, but he was very, very complimentary. He wasn't really patting himself on the back much in this speech. Like, it was very, you know, this person meant so much to me, and this person meant so much to me, and not the obvious names. Mm-hmm. He gave a lot of props to people that we don't even know.
Yeah,
I thought that was cool that he gave a lot of props to folks that we've never even heard of. The whole thing, I thought it was the right length. I thought it was great.
It seemed like he dwelled on his speech thinking, like, who really got me here?
Yeah.
Like, who really made me into the player that I was? And, like aside from the work that he put in and the whatever, like, who inspired him, who whatever? He had this awesome quote about, was it spring training with the Sox?
Yeah, Grady Little.
Yeah, well, it was Grady Little that said.
Yeah,
it said,
Grady Little was basically like, Poppy tried to move a runner over in his first AB in spring training with the Sox in 03. And Grady Little was like, listen, buddy, like, you're not here to move guys over. You're here to drive them in. And I like how he said, the rest was history.
Yeah, that was like the one little flex.
Yeah, I know, but that's okay. I think he could have had more flexes. But, I just thought overall it was a really good speech. I thought it could have been hotter. I've been at induction ceremonies that year. Oh, it could have been. Don't talk about the speech.
It didn't really turn me on. Yeah. It was my only thing that my one issue is like.
That sounded so dumb. I phrased that terribly. It could have been hotter. It could have been like there was this one night at Fenway where they did the chains and I was feeling sexy.
Pedro.
Like, and Pedro when I was getting out of the. No, okay. So I honestly, I've been at 5 of these now. First one in 2000 with Carlton Fisk.
Yeah.
And then saw Pedro and Griffey and some of these other guys. And there have been some where you literally feel like you're going to faint. But these are still so hot. And that's why I get back to the length of the ceremony, where if it was just Poppy and you had a separate ceremony for these other people, not a single soul is going to complain if that's an hour and you have maybe Pedro speak or a couple other people speak and then Poppy speaks. I think that would be totally fine. But that's the only real thing I would tweak. Again, got to see a lot of people out there that listened to the show and took pics and were shooting the breeze and everything. And it was great. It was that Hall of Fame weekend goes by fast, though. Like, even if you get here on Friday, that first night just gets settled. We were in an Airbnb that was only like a half hour away, really easy trip. So that worked out well. It's always so hard to get a place anywhere near Cooperstown. You got to book that like 4 or 5 years in advance. But yeah, it was very few complaints from me. I thought it was awesome. And the Hall of Fame, the actual Hall of Fame, They could definitely add a few more items. I think I hadn't been there in 5 years, and it felt very similar to my last trip there. The Poppy stuff they had was cool. His last All-Star game cleats, all of his rings, World Series jersey from 04. Some really cool Poppy items there. But I would probably... I'd update some of the items. We were trying to find the Hank Aaron 715th home run ball, and they had like 712, 713, 714, 716. So I'm like, where's the actual one? But they used to have the Barry Bonds 73rd home run ball with the asterisk on it, and that's not there anymore. So there are a couple of items that I would like to see that aren't in there.
Yeah, I mean, you are a returning customer, though. I mean, I don't know how much of their... aim is for returning people versus
it's probably aimed at first timers.
Yeah. So because as a first timer, I mean, we spent I don't know what, like 2 hours in there, hour and a half.
Yeah.
I could have spent triple that. I feel like
you like to read stuff more. I'm kind of like the saw it, took a picture, moving on.
I mean, it's a museum. You're supposed to stop and read. No,
I know, but I'm a visual. I'm not. I don't like reading. I've made that clear over the years. But
I'm not sure you know how to read.
I'm pretty sure this guy.
That's a couple times today you've made me think that you don't know how to read. But I could have stayed in there forever, man. Like reading every little passage.
You could just be living there now.
I mean, we got the news that Devers is going on the IL while we were there. I had that bummer tweet about like there's a chance that Bogey and Devers played their last game.
I just wasn't
together.
Ready to go there.
And I mean, that's what was going through my head while I was there. I actually got nauseous. I wanted to just like. Go outside and I mean it was terrible timing. I want to go back really bad and just like I'm go inside like without having to keep pace with anybody, and that's not like at you, it's just like I have that pressure on myself. I'm like, I'm with somebody, they're trying to move, so I got to keep up with them.
We could try doing that in the offseason.
Like we could try, I just want to go there and like really soak it all in. But I mean, so many crazy things. I'm a big early baseball guy, like 1800s baseball,
really early.
I love that stuff. So anything
they used to play with an apple as the ball.
They used to and they'd use their mother's leg as the bat.
yeah.
And there were no rules. It was just you eat apples in the field.
Yeah. And if you field it correctly, then you get the whole apple, and then they bring a new one in. Like it used to be crazy, and then they transitioned to oranges.
Yeah, well, the game used to be called Picnic.
Yes.
Yeah, and that's why.
Yeah.
Yeah, it sucked. It sucked.
Well, I didn't know
baseball
that until
better.
I didn't know that until I read it in the hole.
You didn't read anything, and you know it. Stop lying.
Only
you
thing,
can read.
Can I be honest?
Yeah.
Only thing I read was the Red Sox booth.
Yeah.
They have one for like each team, and the Sox stuff was pretty cool. Could have been a little cool, but pretty cool. I was stunned that Koji's glove got banned.
Because it has the Japanese flag on it.
I'm like, that's maybe not a great look. It has the Japanese flag on it and you can't wear it?
Yeah, what's that about?
What was that about?
What's that about? When they make hats that have the American flag on it that they all wear on.
Can't have the Japanese flag?
Can't
okay.
Japanese flag?
Didn't know that.
That.
Wasn't aware. But they used to have the last out of 04 ball there, and it wasn't there. I think it's... I'm just, like, so caught up in, like, the three items that I think I love most about the hall just aren't there anymore, and I, like, wanted to see them again. It's like, damn. But the hall is great. Like, they had a lot of really good Ted Williams stuff. So much Yankee stuff, but I get it. They've meant a lot to the history of the game. Mm-hmm. But there's a lot of Yankee stuff. There's like a Yankees wing. There's two
Yankees wings, and there's a Babe Ruth wing.
I know. The Babe Ruth wing, I'm not going to lie. It's
pretty cool.
So pretty cool.
It's pretty cool.
The fact that they just have that full Babe Ruth game-used jersey there, and it's like the mannequin
uniform.
is Babe Ruth.
Yeah.
Like, the mannequin is his size. Every time I see that, I'm just like, how? Like, how did he wear... That was Babe Ruth? Baby Ruthie? The Colossus of Clout? Like, he wore that? So I'm blown away by that Babe Ruth haul every time. And... Yeah, I just... The Hall of Fame's the best.
Just said it, my brain's like, well, he didn't wear that one, Steve.
That's what I'm saying. I'm like, how did he wear that? He's such a mythical thing that, like...
It's not a representation. It's not like, oh, this is, like, to his exact sizes. No, this is the one we have it.
He had it on, and they have it. It's the Hall of Fame's great. The Hall of Fame's great. If you get a chance to go to Cooperstown, you got to do it. Poppy getting inducted was a great distraction to the Red Sox being terrible right now and the trade deadline looming and... Who knows? Everyone's got 8 million different thoughts. I think Joey and I are going to dive way more into the trade deadline stuff after this Guardian series. After this four-gamer,
I want to pick your brain on what you think is going to happen.
Yeah.
Because we try not to talk about that when we're not rolling. But I really want to know what you think is legitimately going to happen. And I think that this series actually does like affect it a lot.
Yes.
Because I think if you get swept here, I think that's entirely different than, you know, the other way around. So I think talking about it now is a little premature. I totally get why you want to. But there are still games to be played before the deadline. There are still factors at play that, like, you can't just, you know, decide before it's decided for you.
Exactly. So we're going to wrap things up here with closing thoughts. But before that, we will take a quick break on episode 37 of Inside the Monster. We are back on episode 37 of Inside the Monster, the David Ortiz Hall of Fame induction ceremony edition of Inside the Monster. Closing thoughts time. I was thinking about this, Joey.
Yep.
We got all sorts of videos, photos. We're putting out everything on social, having a fun time this weekend. Obviously very busy getting a lot of content, but we were. It hit me that, wait a second, you know, who's the next Red Sox player that's going to be inducted into the Hall of Fame? And the face that popped into my head, whoever's listening right now, everybody listening, which player's face pops into your brain when you're thinking, oh, this guy's going to be the next Red Sox player inducted into the Hall of Fame? If you're thinking Rafael Devers, you are 100% correct. I think Rafael Devers is going to be the next Red Sox player inducted into the Hall of Fame.
You don't think Juan Soto is going to do it first?
They're going to go in the same year. It's going to be crazy. Now, the biggest thing right now,
2042 is going to be sick.
Anyone listening, I'm saying Devers for multiple reasons. You're probably thinking Clemens. You're probably thinking Schilling. Curt Schilling should already be in the Hall of Fame. Mm-hmm. So, considering that, I'd be stunned with whether it's like the Veterans Committee, this, that, the other thing. I mean, the real answer is probably Schilling. But I think he'll find a way in there because he was so close and he told the Hall to take him off. Yeah, I think
that's a bigger thing. I think the fact that he said, no, I don't want to, screwed him for
life. I think the real answer is Schilling. But if we're really playing this game, I'm going to go Rafael Devers. I think he's going to be here for the long haul. I genuinely think that. And I think he is going to be a Hall of Famer that goes in with the Boston Red Sox. Now, the other one, obviously, is Roger Clemens. But that doesn't really count because it's like, do you think Red Sox when you... No, I don't.
I mean, I was way too young, to be honest.
Okay,
with you,
so. But I'm just... When you look back at his career, it's like...
I think of him as a Yankee.
Yeah, so that doesn't really... So we're counting Clemens out for this experiment. Mm-hmm. But I would go Raffy. I think that could be... And that could be a while from now, man. And I'm talking like primarily Red Sox. Like, because there could be someone that gets in there. It's like, oh, played him. Got to remember, he played 3 years with the Red Sox.
So. Okay, counterpoint.
Yeah.
Chris Sale.
He's not there yet.
300 strikeout season 2 times.
Mm.
And currently holds the all-time record for strikeout-to-walk ratio.
I don't think that gets you in the Hall of Fame. I think Chris Sale, as it stands right now, is in Johan Santana category more than he is in a Hall of Fame category. King Felix Hernandez, that's another guy that would be in like the layer below Hall of Fame. I think Sale has really hurt, really, really hurt his Hall of Fame case since 2018. In the last 3 to 4 years, it's just he was almost a guarantee to make the Hall of Fame, and now I don't think it's that at all.
Even if he comes back,
he has a chance.
Let's say 2 more seasons, you know, not 18 seasons,
like 30 wins each.
yeah, like, I don't know, like a 1.26 ERA.
Yeah.
Then do
and
you
he
think
has
he makes
like
it?
520K games. Like, yeah, I would say no. Sale has a chance, but I just think it's. I don't know. You got to do it for a long time, and I know he was dominant for 7 seasons. Around there, that feels about right.
Sounds
six
right.
Seasons mm-hmm. of dominance, that doesn't get you into the Hall of Fame. So we'll see. I mean, he'll have a chance, and he's still what, 33? So
sure.
The opportunity's there. But that's my closing thought. I think Rafael Devers is going to be the next Red Sox player to make it into the Hall of Fame, even though it's probably Curt Schilling. What do you got, Joey? It's pouring here in Cooperstown.
Yeah, our studio is getting pounded
getting
by
drilled.
Rain here.
What's your... the wives thing.
Yeah, speaking of.
This is funny.
Yeah. So, on Saturday, they do a parade of all the living Hall of Famers. Unless your name is Derek Jeter and you think you're too good to come to Cooperstown
bum.
And see your old friend David Ortiz.
Retupecked.
Yeah. Where's the retupecked?
No retupecked.
None.
But anyway, it's pretty cool. I wish they moved a little bit quicker. I wish that they, you know, didn't space him out all too much. Because it's weird being at a parade where you're like, oh, there's Zach. Hey, Zach, okay. 90 seconds of just standing there.
Yeah, it's a bit sweating,
oh,
by the
hey,
way.
Look, oh, no way. It's okay, cool. 90 seconds of standing there. So the guys next to us found a way to keep themselves busy during that 90 seconds of downtime. And that was Googling the wife's name of the next, like, upcoming player. So, you know, I don't know. Give me.
That's a Goose Gossage is coming.
Yeah. He's like, all right, Goose is coming. Quick. Like, look up his wife.
It's Kelly.
And it's Kelly. Kelly.
Kelly. Kelly. Kelly. Like, that was funny,
and
man.
It took 5, 6, 7, 8 people until they, like, one, got the crowd on board, because at first I heard it, and my first thought was like, guys, that's not cool. Like,
yeah, there's only one or two of them doing it. Yeah.
Like, what are you doing here? And then by the end, I'm Googling for them. I'm like, her name's Clara.
It's Mike Mussina's coming.
Everybody, 3, 2, 1.
Clara.
And I got so into it. I was loving it. And the wives, I was trying to make a TikTok out of it. We might still put it out, of like these wives' reaction of like, you know, waving and, you know, patting their husbands on the back, and then realizing, like, wait, are they chanting Clara?
Yeah.
Hi! And, like, waving. And
yeah.
Loved that.
Well,
loved that.
The face of, they've never seen that before. They've never, like, seen their name chanted. It's always been, like, Smoltz.
Exactly, yeah.
So, that was crazy. I think two takeaways from that. One, at first, I was like, this feels weird, but then when, to your point, when more people got involved, I was like, oh, okay, it's actually not. Like, this is just, like, they're chanting the name. It's not that weird.
If anything, it was a little wholesome.
Two, this is a little dangerous, and that's why with Google search, Wikipedia, you gotta watch out. I told you this, Joey, and you got this big eyes look.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, y'all gotta watch out, because some of these guys are on second and third wives, and you might be seeing the first wife's name at the second wife's name.
We do Google image. Yeah.
Seriously. So, like, I think some of these guys were, some of these times they were chanting, they were like, Rachel. And what was it? It was it Hoffman's wife? I think it was Trevor Hoffman's
wife. There was somebody
wife.
Who gave a... Like
Trevor
a,
Hoffman's wife looked back and was like, I'm not... That's not
that's
who
not
you think
funny.
It is. And I was like, no! You're chanting so the ex-wife's funny. Name at the current one.
They were trying.
The effort was there. I think they needed... The execution needed to be a little smoother. Like,
yeah.
It was funny, though. They were like... They were squinting, you know, down the street to try to see who it was. Cal Ripken!
Go!
That was good. That was definitely entertaining.
Yeah,
but,
that was fun.
But yeah, that will do it for the Inside the Monster July road trip. Joey, that was a ton of fun. I thoroughly enjoyed what we were able to do and the stuff we were able to put together, the times we were able to have. Shout out to you guys for following along and, you know, for saying what's up in New York and L.A. and I guess in New York again, in Cooperstown. And we hope to do more of these moving forward. I know Joey and I, the rest of the season, are focusing our, I don't even know what the word is. We're just going to be at Fenway.
Our efforts.
Yeah, it's Fenway. It's a lot of Fenway. And specifically in the next 10 days, it's a lot of what is going to happen in the trade deadline. That's where we're at. That's where it's going to be. And get excited for all the rumors. And then Nightingale tweeting out fake rumors. And then, you know, Heyman tweeting out typos. It's all coming. It's all around the corner and passing with the all caps breaking. Soto hates everyone in DC.
Soto's not playing baseball
anymore. Soto quits baseball. So that's all coming. But yeah, this was a lot of fun. I really thoroughly enjoyed this, and I'm excited for more of these trips, and I'm excited that I got a new glove.
You got a new glove?
Got a new glove. We're going to do a whole short on it.
On the glove?
On the glove, yeah.
I wish you had told me sooner.
Yeah, I know. You got to be excited
about
it.
You got to bring that up more.
Until our next show, I know you'll be hearing from us on a preview of this Red Sox-Guardians series. But until then, for Joey Capone, I'm Steve Perrault. Please, go Sox, kid.
Inside the Monster is a production of Odyssey in partnership with the Boston Red Sox. The show is produced by me, Steve Perrault. Our executive producer is Lena Glazer, mixing and video editing by Joey Capone. Special thanks to the Red Sox and Major League Baseball for their contributions to the production of this podcast.